tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. And inshallah azza wa jal, in today's episode and program we are going to discuss a very important subject matter, and that is our dua, the essence of worship. Subhanallah, and with me together, I have Alhamdulillah with me Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah, our guest of honor, mashallah, who is always adding beauty to the screens of Madani channel. And Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah Sayyidi for participating. Before we begin, let's first and foremost recite Salat ala Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated that Ad-du'au mahjubun anillahi hatta Yusalla ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dua remains in veil from Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning it is not accepted unless durood is sent to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to his offspring and Ahl Bayt. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'ina wa sallam. In this regard, there's a beautiful hadith where Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu has stated that the revered and renowned Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he would teach others to make dua. Subhanallah. In this beautiful parable, he says that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to visit a person who was very weak. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, did you used to make any dua? And he said that, yes, I used to make dua that, O Allah, if you are going to give me any punishment in the hereafter, so give it in the world. The merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, you are not strong enough to bear it. Why don't you say, O our Lord, bestow upon us in the world and in the hereafter, and bestow good upon us in the world and in the hereafter, and protect us from the punishment of hell. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then made dua for him. So Allah azza wa jal blessed him with cure and shifa.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Subhanallah.
Make yourself accustomed to reciting this dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should also make our action such.
Yes.
To back it up, inshallah azza wa jal. Because a'mali saliha, when we do good and then make dua, it has more, alhamdulillah, value. And whereas we keep making dua, everyone makes dua, alhamdulillah. And there are some of us who do not make dua often enough. We keep asking each other to make dua, subhanallah, which is also good, mashallah, to remember our brothers in our duas while we are making duas for ourselves, because the angel says ameen to the dua. Regarding the importance of dua, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, الدُّعَاء مُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ. The dua is the essence of worship.
Subhanallah.
Another beautiful hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, الدُّعَاء سِلَاحُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَعِمَادُ الدِّينِ وَنُورُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Dua is the weapon of a mu'min, a pillar of religion, and nur of the sky and the earth.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
I mean, how beautiful it is to make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At every chance we get, we need to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the only court we have,
yeah,
to go in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how drowned we are in our sorrows, how many sins we have committed, make istighfar in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua in the court of Allah, yes, azza wa jal. And inshallah, we can hope that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will envelop us.
And also, Masab, we see, you know, there are many people out there who are facing some sort of calamities, some sort of misfortunes, etc. And they want to try and find the solution to avoid these calamities, to avoid these misfortunes. And a beautiful way of doing that is by making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us and informs us that dua, it can protect and avert all of these calamities and these misfortunes that descends, and that which will descend in the future as well. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, so O believers, make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this dua that a person makes, it goes up towards the skies and it fights with the calamities until the day of Qiyamah. Both of them fight. So in actuality, the dua that a person makes, it is protecting them from so many calamities that they themselves aren't even aware of. So it is very imperative and important for each and every one of us to make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another very beautiful narration, it is mentioned that there is nothing nobler to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than dua.
Allah.
Allahu Akbar. As we know that this is the essence of worship, subhanallah. And you know, Mullah Sahib, many people, they make dua and they wonder that why is my dua not being accepted? I'm making dua for this, I am making dua for that. Why is it not being accepted? And subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, he says that a servant's dua is never void of three things. The first one is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that either his sins are forgiven, number two, or he benefits in this dunya. He gets what he asks for in this dunya. And number three, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the virtues are accumulated for him on the day of Qiyamah to such an extent that on the day of Qiyamah, when the person sees so much amount of virtues that are there waiting for him, he would wish that none of his du'as has been accepted.
Allah, just because of seeing the
immense amount of virtues that are there for him in the Akhirah.
And Sayyidi, when it comes to our du'as not being accepted, we don't see the effect of our du'a.
Yes.
So we tend to think in our limited understanding that the du'as are not being accepted.
Right.
And then that shouldn't demotivate a person.
Yes.
Because du'a, we make du'a not for it to be accepted, but our thinking and idea behind making du'a should be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to beg Him.
Yes.
Yes. We are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make dua to Him. And inshallah azza wa jal, and what thought process should we have? That it, we are just fulfilling the divine command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And also, Munasab, you know, a person should not be saddened or upset that, you know, I'm making dua for so long and it has not been accepted as yet. But it is mentioned in the narrations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the voice of that person who cries to Him. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delays it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves when His servants cry unto Him. So this itself is a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that no matter what, we always have to continuously make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Yes, our job is to beg in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to be better at doing it, inshallah. There are manners of dua, there are intentions that we need to have, sound intentions behind our du'as, alhamdulillah. As dua is a very important act of worship, one should also make good intentions before making dua. Meaning, it shouldn't just be a lip service, but there must be sincere intention behind it.
Yes.
Without a good intention, no reward is granted for any good deed. The more good intentions a person makes, the more reward he will be given. And alhamdulillah, one can make the intention that inshallah, I will make dua for gaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for earning reward.
Subhanallah.
Another intention could be that I will act upon the Quranic command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah azza wa jal has mentioned and commanded us, Ud'uni astajib lakum. make dua to me, I will accept it. And then the third intention could be that I will receive the blessings of dua mentioned in the blessed hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So yes, there can be so many beautiful intentions that one could make. Another beautiful intention could be that during dua, I will avoid uttering rhyming and fancy words with an effort. Let's say if there are du'as that are rhyming and you are accustomed to reading it, alhamdulillah, there's nothing wrong. But don't make an effort now in your du'a. While you are making du'a, you're trying to rhyme the words. Yes. Meaning you are losing the focus of du'a itself.
Right.
You are going off track. Whereas you were supposed to be sincere in your du'a.
It's like you're putting your energy in a place where it's not supposed to be.
Yes.
And this is why, you know, one of the ethics of making dua in the God of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that one should alert his organs and his physical body of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah, beautiful point, Sayyidi, that you raised. Alhamdulillah, as we are going through the intentions, what sort of intention a person should have when making dua in the God of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You mentioned that presence of the heart is very important.
Right.
Meaning, if we are just merely doing a lip service, our lips are moving, but there is no thought process behind it. Then we're going to lose it. Why? Because what we have in the heart, that's not being conveyed. It's just the lips moving.
Yes.
And due to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't accept their dua. Those people of Bani Israel, you've just mentioned. And when they put their hearts in their duas, alhamdulillah, then yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your faces. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah does not look at your faces, neither does He look at your wealth, but He looks at your heart and your actions.
Subhanallah.
In the next intention that is mentioned, that one should have the intention that I will conform to the apparent and inner manners of dua. As you have mentioned, purity, subhanallah.
Right.
And then one should have the niyat to start dua by glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reciting salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is another beautiful way of making dua.
Yes.
One could start with glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. And after that, one could add to their duas whatever heartfelt wishes that they may have.
Right.
Once they have glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sent salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at the end, one should have the intention of reciting salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after reciting the ayah of Durood Sharif. That is, alhamdulillah, inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina maulana muhammadin wa ala nujudi wal karami wa alihi wa barik sallim salatu wa salaman alayki ya rasulallah.
Also, Mullah Sahib, you know, that was such a very beautiful point that you've mentioned. And it reminds me of the saying of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala in which he mentions that the dua is suspended between the skies and the earth, and it does not rise up until you recite salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And look at Sayyidi, the manners of dua, that first we must glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
right.
Then send salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and surah Fatiha, which we know as surah dua.
Yes.
Subhanallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned this is surah dua and surah shifa as well.
Subhanallah.
As it is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, the incident where a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were going somewhere, and there was a tribe, and the leader of the tribe was bitten by the snake.
Allah Akbar.
And the beautiful dua of Surah Fatiha, subhanAllah. So one sahabi, he saw that, and then he, what he did was he recited Surah Fatiha as dua to cure him.
Allah,
he recited
Allah.
Surah Fatiha, alhamdulillah, and that tribe leader got cured from the snake bite, poisonous snake. And then when the Sahaba came back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they narrated the entire incident. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approved it, mashallah, that yes, he did the right thing, mashallah. And in this way, so when a person recites Surah Fatiha, Allah Azza wa Jal says in Hadith al-Qudsi that I have divided in half the salah between me and my bondmen.
Subhanallah.
And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, "Wali abdi ma sa'ala," and I grant my servant what he asks. فَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ, so when the servant says, "Alhamdu lillahi rabbil alameen," Allah Azza wa Jal says, "Hamidani abdi," my servant has praised me. وَإِذَا قَالَ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمُ, so when the person says next, الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمُ, قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, Allah Azza wa Jal states, أَثْنَى عَلَيَّ عَبْدِي, my servant has extolled my excellence, subhanallah, my praises. And then, وَإِذَا قَالَ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, when he says, مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, Allah Azza wa Jal says, مَجَّدَنِي عَبْدِي,
Allah,
my servant has mentioned my greatness. فَإِذَا قَالَ, when the servant says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, قَالَ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ, that this is between me and my servant, and I bestow upon my servant what he asks. فَإِذَا قَالَ, so when he says, إِهْدِنَا صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. When the servant recites this portion of the surah, قال, Allah Azza wa Jal says, هذا لعبدي ولعبدي ما سأل, this has been granted to my servant, and for my servant is what he asks for. Subhanallah. And this hadith is mentioned in Muslim Sharif. See, when it comes to different wordings, du'as, subhanallah, what are some of the parables regarding making du'a, the manners of du'a, inshallah, Azza wa Jal.
Subhanallah, Masab. You know, there is one very fascinating and interesting parable that has taken place, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he narrates the story to us, subhanallah.
Allah.
And he mentions that there were three men, right? There were three men, and they were embarking on a journey, and they sought refuge in a cave. And when they went inside this cave, a huge boulder blocked the entrance of the cave. Now they are worried as to what they are going to do. They are stranded. And they started saying that no one is going to help us except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one from amongst them, they gave this mashwara and advice that, you know what, let us make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by using a good deed that we have done sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so first person, he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying, oh Allah, I got the milk for my parents, and when I got back, I found them asleep. And on the other hand, my wife and my children, they were hungry and they were thirsty and they were crying to me to give them that milk. Oh Allah, I did not give them the milk. I waited for my parents to wake up and give them this milk.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. Oh Allah, if I have done this deed sincerely for your pleasure, please help us. Allahu Akbar. This boulder that was blocking the entrance of the cave, it moved a bit.
Allahu Akbar.
The second person, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying, oh Allah, I once fell in love with my cousin and I loved her a lot. I went to her and she told me that, what are you doing? It is wrong. It is forbidden. She did not accept. And after that, what happened was, a year passed by in which there was severe famine. And so she approached me for help. And I told her that, okay, I will help you only if you do this with me, this haram act with me.
Allah.
And Allahu Akbar, he told her a certain amount that I will give you. And after that, what happened was that she, at that moment in time, she told him to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that time when she told him this, it struck his heart. And what he did, he pulled back, he pulled himself back. And he did not go forward to commit that haram act. And he says, oh Allah, if I have done this sincerely for your pleasure, oh Allah, please help us. Allahu Akbar. Allah. After this boulder, it moved even more. Subhanallah. The third person, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, oh Allah, I had many laborers working for me. All of them, they got paid except one worker. He left before he could even get paid. So I took his salary and I invested it into a business. And when this person came back, he came and he asked me that, where is my dues? Pay me my dues. I want my salary. And I said to him that all what you see over here, all this cattle, this goat, these animals, all what you see, it belongs to you. This person, he got a shock. He was like, what? All of this belongs to me? The owner, he said, yes, all of this, it belongs to you. And this person, this worker, he took all of the cattle, whatever was there, he took every single thing and left nothing for the owner. And he went. And thereafter he says, oh Allah, if I have done this act sincerely for your pleasure, oh Allah, please help us. Subhanallah. After that, the entire boulder moved and these three men were saved. And they came out from that cave. Subhanallah. So, from this beautiful lesson, we also learn that for us to present, we may have did, you know, even one good deed sincerely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our entire life. So we should also present our good deeds as a wasila, as a medium when we are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is hoped that through the barakah of that, through the blessings of that, our du'as will also be accepted.
Inshallah. Ameen. Bijahin Nabijil Ameen. Subhanallah. Sayyidi, a very inspiring incident that you have narrated to us. MashaAllah, the beautiful parable. And it also shows the power of dua.
Yes.
Definitely. So do not underestimate the power of your dua. Allahu Akbar. The power of dua is such that it can even move boulders. Subhanallah. They physically moved.
Yeah.
Then they made dua sincerely in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All it needs the sincerity of the heart and the sincerity of the action. And the dua has the power to move things. Subhanallah. Move even a huge boulder that would block the cave. Another beautiful intention, Sayyidi, is mentioned that that one should try to maintain sincerity while reciting couplets in the du'as. Couplets can be recited, alhamdulillah. There are many du'aiya couplets such as Ya Rabbi bil Mustafa, Balligh maqasidana waghfir lana ma madha ya wasi' al-karami, Mawla yusalli wa sallim da'iman abada ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihim. Another beautiful dua by Sheikh Saadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. خدایا به حق بنی فاطمه کبر قول ایما کنی خاتمه اگر دعوتم رد کنی و قبول منو دست دامان آل رسول. And there are many, many such, alhamdulillah, beautiful couplets which can be used in dua, subhanallah. Yes. And we need to at the same time maintain sincerity when we are reciting these couplets. This is the main focal point here.
Yes.
And then finally, to end the dua, we know how to begin the dua, praising and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then reciting Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can also make Quranic du'as. Mm-hmm. We can make du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to encourage, such as Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhab an-nar. Another beautiful du'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to encourage people to read was Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, Thabbit Qalbi ala Deenik.
Subhanallah.
And then when we end the dua, then it will be, it should be, alhamdulillah, with these Quranic verses. Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifoon, Wasalamun ala al-Mursaleen, Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Beautiful. I mean, it is given in such a beautiful way, the whole process of making dua, alhamdulillah. Now, the manners of dua, we need to exercise these etiquettes and the manners and the ethics of making dua. For everything, there is a way of doing things.
Yes.
And the dua also has a certain way in which it is done, alhamdulillah. It is mentioned that in the view of the importance and the excellence of dua, it is necessary to learn its manners as well as to conform to them during the dua. We generally see that when a person needs to make a request to a king or an official in the world, he does so with great respect, honor, and attention. He knows that his request will be rejected if he shows carelessness or heedlessness. Just think, This is such so profound, Sayyidi. Yes. Just think that we are making dua in the King of all the kings.
Allah.
Ahkam al-Hakimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if one is required to follow a certain etiquette while approaching any king or official in the world, then how great one should follow the manners when making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Request in the court of Allah, who is the King of all kings, subhanallah. Every person with an intellect can realize it.
Yes.
It's not so hard to understand. Therefore, whenever we make dua, we should make it with great attention and concentration, following the proper and true manners of dua. And inshallah, azza wa jal, by the mercy of Allah, it may be accepted. It
will inshallah. Be
accepted. Ameen. So Sayyidi, what are some of the etiquettes, you know, some of the manners of dua, how we can truly present ourselves in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a sincere and a humble manner? As like how a beggar goes,
yes,
in the court of the greatest of kings, subhanallah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the King of all kings.
Yes, you know, Masab, there are so many ethics and etiquettes when it comes to making dua, and out of all of them, one important etiquette is mentioned, that one it is advised and it is encouraged that one should be in the state of purity. You know, one should be in the state of wudu, and he should raise his hands up in dua in such a way that his palms are facing towards the skies, because the qibla of dua is the skies. So one's palms must be facing upwards towards the skies, and they must be so humble, they must be so much of humility that they must feel what they are saying. It must come from the heart, sincerely. You know, it should not be done just mere lip service, where they are just talking away, and their minds are in their business, or in their minds are in their families, and it is all over the place. No, concentration must be there. To condition the heart to be present must be there. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be there, because a person is making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a beggar, and we are beggars in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are presenting ourselves in the court of the King of all kings,
subhanallah,
who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person should be very mindful of the way he is making dua, what he is saying in his dua, what he should not say in his dua. You know, so at times people make dua for unnecessary things and stupid things, you know, for useless things and foolish things. Like for instance, there was a man who was granted three du'as, and these three du'as, if he makes them, would be accepted. Three wishes, we can say.
Yes.
Right? And so the first du'a he makes, right, he makes this du'a that, oh Allah, make my wife the most beautiful woman in all of Bani Israel.
Subhan.
This was his first du'a. And so his dua was accepted. She became the most beautiful woman in the entire Bani Israel. Now, because of the amount of beauty that she had, pride started to come in her. You know, she started to show off, and she started to be the boss. And what happened in the process? She started to disrespect her husband. She started to insult her husband, that look at me now, and you know, all of this stuff. And so her husband, he got upset by this. He got sad by this. What did he do now? His second dua, he made this dua, oh Allah, turn her into a dog. And now she got turned into a dog. Second dua, right? After that, his children, now they were crying. They were disturbed. Now their mother is not amongst them. So obviously, being the father, he was forced to make the third dua. And in the third dua, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to return her back to her normal state. Allahu Akbar. So imagine, three wishes he had, three accepted duas he had that he could make. But what did he do? He used it on only one person. Three duas he used on one person. And all of it got to waste. So when we are making dua, we also have to be wise. we have to know what to say. We have to know what yes. not to say. Because of course, we cannot make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything haram. Of course, yes. that is not allowed. So we always have to be careful of what to ask in our dua. So these are, you know, some of the manners, some of the etiquettes that we should be mindful of when we are making dua in the God of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah, Jazakallah Sayyidi. Very beautiful points of discussion that you have brought forward. And inshallah, there is much more to discuss still.
Inshallah.
And the selection of words also, one has to keep in mind which yes. words a person uses when making dua. Inshallah, Azawajal, we'll discuss all of this after we go and listen to this beautiful kalam in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yaade Nabi ka Gulshan by our brother Ashfaq Attari and Hasnain Attari, Hafizahumullah. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Yaade Nabi ka Gulshan mehka, mehka lagta hai. Mehfil mein maujood hai aqa, aisa lagta hai.
Yaad-e Nabi ka gulshan mehka mehka lagta hai.
Yaad-e Nabi ka gulshan mehka mehka lagta hai.
Mehfil mein maujood hai aqa, aisa lagta hai.
Mehfil mein maujood hai aqa, aisa lagta hai.
Naam-e Muhammad kitna meetha meetha lagta hai. Naam-e Muhammad kitna meetha meetha lagta hai. Pyare Nabi ka zikr bhi humko pyara lagta hai. Pyare Nabi ka zikr bhi humko pyara lagta hai.
Yaad-e Nabi ka gulshan mehka mehka lagta hai. Mehfil mein maujood hai aqa, aisa lagta hai. Lab par nagme salle ala ke haathon mein parcham, lab par nagme salle ala ke haathon mein parcham. Dekho to sarkar ka mangta kaisa lagta hai. Dekho to sarkar ka mangta kaisa lagta hai.
Yaad-e-Nabi ka gulshan mehka mehka lagta hai. Mehfil mein maujood hai aqa, aisa lagta hai.
Aankhon mein mazaag ka surma sartaha ka taaj. Aankhon mein mazaag ka surma sartaha ka taaj. Kaise kahun rehmat wala hum jaisa lagta hai. Kaise kahun rehmat wala hum jaisa lagta hai.
Yaad-e-Nabi ka gulshan mehka mehka lagta hai. Mehfil mein maujood hai aqa, aisa lagta hai.
قلندر سب اس کے محتاج، غوث قطب ابدال قلندر سب اس کے محتاج، میرا داتا ہر داتا کا داتا لگتا ہے، میرا داتا ہر داتا کا داتا لگتا ہے،
یاد نبی کا گلشن مہکا لگتا ہے، محفل میں موجود ہے آقا ایسا لگتا ہے،
اودنا کی سیج سجی ہے عرش بری پہ، آجو ادنا کی سیج سجی ہے عرش بری پہ، آج حق کا دلارا باندھ کے صحرا دولہا لگتا ہے، حق کا دلارا باندھ کے صحرا دولہا لگتا ہے،
یاد نبی کا گلشن مہکا لگتا ہے، محفل میں موجود ہے آقا ایسا لگتا ہے،
آؤ سنائے اپنے نبی کو اپنے من کی بات، آؤ سنائے اپنے نبی کو اپنے من کی بات، ان کے علاوہ کون نیازی اپنا لگتا ہے، ان کے علاوہ کون نیازی اپنا لگتا ہے،
یاد نبی کا گلشن مہکا لگتا ہے، محفل میں موجود ہے آقا ایسا لگتا ہے،
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم. Welcome back, dear viewers. Subhanallah, we were listening to the kalam Yaad-e Nabi Ka Gulshan by our brother Ashfaq Attari and brother Hasnain Attari, Hafizahum Allah. Beautiful rendition, mashallah, as we are back, reverting back to our subject of discussion, and that is the essence of worship. We are discussing the manners of du'as, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. In this regard, we ended on the note just before the kalam that what should be our selection of words during du'a. Sayyidi, when it comes to the selection of words, right? When we are at home, we talk anyhow,
right,
in our colloquial language. But when we are in a professional setting, let's say, for example, a person is going for an interview, you cannot speak anyhow.
Yes.
When you are presenting something, you cannot speak anyhow. There has to be a certain code of conduct that you have to abide by. And the most careful one needs to be when one is in the court of Allah.
Yes.
When we definitely are presenting a plea in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is when we need to watch out our selection of words.
Yes.
If we are speaking to a king, we watch out what we say, because any wrong move, and there's going to be a consequence. In the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to be most careful. Selection of good words during dua can bring relief from trouble and tragedy, and improper words can result in an ordeal. This can be further explained with the help of this parable, that there was an Israelite whose name was Babus, and he was informed that his three duas would be accepted. As Maulana Sahib has mentioned, that he made all three duas in a manner that turned to be futile, and the result was that the woman was turned to her original state, and this person never benefited from all these three du'as, accepted du'as that he was being bestowed from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected scholars have described some manners of du'a, that one should make du'a in a state of purity, as you have mentioned, facing the Qibla direction with full concentration. One should send salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the beginning and at the end of the du'a, and one should raise his hands towards the sky and should include all the Muslims in du'a.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. One should prefer to make du'a during the moments when du'a is accepted, such as the time of khutbah on Friday, the time of rain, the time of iftar, during the last one-third part of the night, and during the gathering of the completion of the recitation of the Holy Quran, etc. Yes. There are many other occasions, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we shall discuss shortly at length about the same issue, the time and the occasion of making du'a. So, Sayyidi, another beautiful manner of making dua is mentioned by Allama Ismail Haqqi rahimahullah in Ruhul Bayan. He says that it is preferable to spread both hands during dua, not to have them close together, but to spread it with at least a little distance between them. One should not place one hand on top of the other like this here in this manner. So, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, these are some of the etiquettes of making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if we observe the etiquettes, then that will be noticed in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person has taken pride in making dua. This person has been considerate, has been presentable in making dua.
Yes.
His selection of words and the time he has chosen, subhanAllah, to invoke the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidi, so what are some of those times and some of those occasions when the du'as are accepted in the court of Allah?
SubhanAllah, so, you know, they are so many, you know, the times of the acceptance of du'as, the places of the acceptance of du'as. For instance, when if one goes for Umrah or for Hajj, and then even at these holy lands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, du'as are accepted there as well. And subhanAllah, we find in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the night of Qadr, the night of Qadr is also one of those times in which du'as are accepted. The day of Arafah, there is also one of those times in which du'as are accepted. And also the night of Jum'ah, which is Thursday night, and the day of Jum'ah before sunset. So in between these times, du'as are accepted as well. And also, you know, in Jum'ah, between the khutbah, between the two khutbah, the pause that is there, ulama have mentioned that that is also a time in which du'as are accepted. So especially for those, you know, when the men folk, when they go for Jum'ah, they should use that time to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ulama have also advised that at that time when making dua, between the time between the two khutbahs, that dua should be made from the heart without moving the lips. That dua should be made from the heart. So this is also one of those times in which duas are accepted. And the other time is on a Wednesday between Dhuhr and Asr Salah. And this is because once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for 3 days consecutively, Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, and the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got accepted on Wednesday between Dhuhr and Asr. SubhanAllah. So Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that whenever I was in any difficulty or in any worry, I always made dua on a Wednesday between Dhuhr and Asr, and I found my dua to be accepted. SubhanAllah. So, you know, we should take advantage of this as well. And one of the most important thing is, you know, when it comes to the timings of the acceptance of du'as, is one time is between the adhan and the iqamah. Between this time, du'as are accepted. And less fortunately, what we see in today's time, in our society today, is that people are negligent of the adhan. When the adhan is when people are still busy in their business, people are still busy doing this, busy doing that, and no attention is being shown to the respect of the adhan. And then people wonder why I'm going through this problem in my life, why I'm going through that in my life, whereas the opportunity is there. You know, it's served to us on our plate, but we are not going forward and eating from it. It's right there. And this is the window that we have between the adhan and the iqamah, where du'as are accepted at that time. So this is also one of those times that we need to take advantage of. And subhanAllah, it is mentioned also that when one drinks zamzam water, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that zamzam water is drunk for every purpose, for every wish or desire, lawful desire that a person has, and he drinks zamzam water, okay, it will be fulfilled inshaAllah. So before drinking zamzam water, a person should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person should have good intentions before drinking zamzam water. And the one last but not least is when a rooster crows. When a rooster crows, this is also the time of the acceptance of du'as, inshaAllah.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, JazakAllah, Sayyid, you have comprehensively, mashallah, have explained this beautiful manner of making du'a, looking at the time and the occasion, what is the time and the occasion, and right, according to that, alhamdulillah, we can at least determine, yes, that this is the time of the acceptance. Allahu Akbar, SubhanAllah. And about the manners of dua, His Eminence Shaykh Tariqat Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Da'wat Islam, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Radawi Ziyai Damat Barakatum Al-Aliya, describes the manner of dua and raising hands in the dua. He says that whenever you make dua, keep your eyes lowered. Otherwise, there is a risk of the eyesight becoming weak.
Allah.
Raise both hands for dua in such a way that they remain either in the straightness of the chest or shoulders or of the face. Meaning like this here, straightness of the chest,
right,
or shoulders or the face.
It's three different levels that,
yes,
one can make dua.
The height. Okay. To adjust the height of how you should raise your hands in dua.
SubhanAllah.
And or raise so much so that the whiteness of armpits appear. That is also the whiteness of the armpits appear. That means your hands have to be raised very high. And then he says, spread palms towards the sky in all four conditions, as the qibla of du'as is the sky. SubhanAllah. Meaning our hands, our palms should be facing the sky. And this is the beautiful manner of raising our hands in dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, great care should be taken.
Yes.
And Sayyidi, you have mentioned the three du'as that this person of Bani Israel was given and how he wasted it away.
Yeah.
Allahu Akbar. It reminds me of a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that every Prophet of Allah has been granted one accepted dua.
Allahu Akbar.
And they have all already asked for their du'as, the du'as that accepted du'a that was granted to them.
Right.
They finish asking.
Mm, mm, mm.
But I am saving mine.
Allah.
I am saving mine on the day of judgment when we as His Ummah will need it
Allah,
the most.
Allahu Akbar.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. And SubhanAllah, look at the love for us of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with His Ummah.
Allah,
how
Allah,
He is concerned about us, you know, our well-being on the day of judgment. He is keeping, saving that dua
Subhan
on the day of judgment. SubhanAllah. Sayyidi, as we have come to the conclusion of our episode and program, any last parting words from you?
SubhanAllah. Masab, you know, we alhamdulillah discussed the beautiful intentions behind making dua, and the essence of worship is dua. And one important factor that we should realize and understand is that whilst making dua, we must make sure that our rizq, our sustenance, our wealth is from halal sources.
Yes.
Because if we have even the slightest haram in our sustenance, then how do we accept our du'as to be accepted? As per the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gives the example of a person who undertakes a long journey, and his hair is all shabby and untidy, his face is dusty, and he is raising his hands in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's saying, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes further on to say that his clothes are haram, his food is haram, and his upbringing was with haram. How can the dua of such a person be accepted?
Allah,
you know, so we have to make sure that we are earning a halal income, our clothes are halal, our food is halal, and our wealth is halal.
Subhanallah, Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ears of acceptance. You know, Ameen. We are listening to it, as Mu'asab has mentioned, beautiful advice, words of advice, and it should hit home, inshallah. And we need to adhere to it, to stick to what is halal and abstain from haram. Inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, we'll see the barakah of it
inshallah.
In our life, in the life of our offspring, and they nurturing, yes. Inshallah, Azza wa Jalla. And now the time has come to an end, and we seek your ijazat and permission. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.